Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 11. 2 weeks ago, we went through verse 14. So tonight, we'll start at verse 15, and I'll read. And if you follow along, and we'll kind of get the context, then we'll go by and look at some of the individual words and phrases from Proverbs chapter 11, beginning at verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. We'll stop reading right there. We'll probably get a little farther than that in our study. But as we go back to verse 15, you'll notice suretyship is the theme of this verse, because you see the word surety and suretyship and sure. It's just there several times. And it says that he that is surety for a stranger. And the word surety means pledge. So it's like in our society, we have a term cosign. And this is the idea of you cosign for someone. If they don't meet their obligation of their loan, then you're on the hook for it there. And so if you're going to cosign for someone, you certainly want to make sure that it's going to be someone that you trust, or someone that if they back out of it, you don't mind paying it for them. Because if you don't go into it with that kind of attitude, and then they aren't able to maintain their half of the deal, then it's going to cause some hard feelings, no doubt. So he says here in verse 15, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. That word smart, it means to be bad or wrong. It comes from a word that means to break off. And so rather than the situation being wholesome or complete, if you sign for someone who defaults on their loan, then it's going to be bad, is what the verse is saying. Then it goes on to say, and he that hateth suretyship, and it's a very similar word, but it's a word that actually means to strike hands. And so in our culture, you know, shaking hands. So you shake hands, you make this agreement, I'm going to cover this for you if you're not able to. And then it says, he that hateth suretyship is sure there. And that is the idea of being trustworthy and faithful there. So here it's confidence. We have confidence. And here he talks about hating suretyship, because how many times has friendships and even family members been separated over money? Financial issues can really divide. And so we need to be careful with that. Then verse 16, he makes a comparison or a contrast, either way, to a gracious woman and a strong man or strong men. It says a gracious woman retains honor there. And she retains honor by being gracious. We read in the New Testament where it talks about being of a meek and quiet spirit. Well, 2 weeks ago, if you go back a couple of verses, we'll see the opposite of this gracious woman, and that's verse 13, where it says a talebearer reveals secrets. And so here, a few verses later, after the talebearer, that's a woman who doesn't retain honor. That's a woman who is not with favor. But now we come to verse 16, and here's a gracious woman. And the gracious woman is not a talebearer. Just because we know something, we don't have to tell it there. And a gracious person sometimes will withhold knowledge about someone because they're being gracious, and that's an honorable thing. And then he says in verse 16, and strong men retain riches there. A strong man, it's the idea of guarding his money, and not so much guarding it physically, but being wise about investments, being wise about how the money is spent, not someone who is wasteful and a spendthrift there. So here, when you have these two in the same house, when you have a man who is strong in wisdom and controlling the finances, and you have a woman who is gracious and honorable, those things go together very well. And sometimes, just because of skills and personality, the husband might delegate the finances to the wife, and that's part of his being a strong man and diligent, knowing if the wife has the ability to handle that better than he does, he delegates that to her as well, and she is gracious and honorable in the home. Verse 17, an amazing verse to me, and one that just every time I read this and I think of the contrast that are in this verse. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. In other words, by showing mercy to someone else, we all like to receive mercy. We'd rather have mercy than justice. But whenever we show mercy, it doesn't say we're doing them a favor. But we are when we show mercy. But the verse says, the merciful man does good to his own soul. And that goes back to the principle of whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So if we are sowing mercy in the life of someone else, then that's what we're going to get. We're benefiting ourselves when we sow mercy. We're also benefiting the one to whom we show mercy. But look at the opposite of this. In verse 17, we see that contrasting conjunction. But he that is cruel, he that is cruel. So the opposite of showing mercy is being cruel. In other words, not showing mercy is cruel. If we have received so much mercy from God to forgive us of all of our sins, well, that's wonderful mercy, isn't it? And then for us to hold something against someone who has wronged us, after God has forgiven us for so much? Verse 17 says, that's cruel. And he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And so both ways it affects self, doesn't it? So when I show mercy to other people, I'm helping myself. But whenever I don't show mercy, which means I'm being cruel, I'm troubling my own self, because whatsoever I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. And so if I sow an unforgiving, bitter spirit, that's just going to come into my life and come into my life. And we know that the Bible in Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness springing up, and by it many be defiled. And so may in this new year we exercise this principle even more so by being merciful to others and not being cruel instead. Verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. There's the idea of sowing again. We talked about sowing mercy before, but now he's talking about our work. There are two kinds of workers in this verse. There's a worker that sows deceitful work here. That word work is a reference to wages for the work. So the idea, there are some people who go around and the work they do, the only reason they're doing that is just selfish for the wage. Now we need wages. The Bible even teaches that the laborer is worthy of his hire. But in this verse, it's contrasting a worker who his whole motivation is gain. And that's found in that word work there. A deceitful work. So he will step over anybody he can to accomplish his goal, to get a little bonus in his paycheck. He'll do whatever he can. And there's so many people like that in this world, aren't they? But the other kind of person who goes to work, in verse 18, it says, but to him that soweth righteousness. So the person who's going to go out and do his job, and he's not so concerned about getting his wages. His concern is, I want to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right on my job. It might not be popular. It might even get me fired. But I'm going to do what's right. And this verse goes on to say, to the one who sows righteousness, it says, it shall be a sure reward. So rather than having the wages that come about from deceitful works, I'm just going to do what I have to do to get the most money out of my labor, a person who is motivated by doing what's right. Because sometimes, especially most of you, unlike me, you know, working here for the church and school, and I've been in the secular world before, and I've worked for unsaved boss men before, and I know what that's like. And so you don't do what's right because of your employer. Maybe sometimes you do, but we certainly do right in spite of them. We won't do right just because it's the right thing to do. And so on our jobs, when we're working, if we're not motivated by the reward that we get, if we're motivated by just by sowing what's right, in verse 18, if we sow the right seeds, it's just like planting seeds out in the garden. Well, we can plant them, and we can water them. We can't make them grow, can we? But God gives the increase. And on our jobs, if we are determined just to do what's right, I'm going to sow that seed of doing right, and God's going to take care of the consequences. God will take care of the work and the results and give me a sure reward if I just do the right thing there. Verse 19, he continues that thought of righteousness. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. And so what is the goal? What are we seeking after? Are we seeking after the highest reward we can get that this world has to give? Or is our goal to do what's right? And so he that seeks as his goal to do what is right, it brings life. But verse 19 says, he that pursues evil, that is going to work just for the wages of it, stepping over other people to earn them, is going to bring forth death to him. And so life in the scripture is not just living instead of dying, but it's a quality of life as well. When we do what's right, God will reward us with whatever finances we need, and he'll take care of all the details if we do what's right and trust the increase to God. Now, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart, that word froward means crooked there, they're an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Whenever I was in college, there was an evangelist who came through. I don't know whatever happened to him. His name was Freddie Gage. Never heard of him before then, and only heard of him while I was in college. But I wrote down something he said, and it just stuck with me. He said in one of his sermons way back in the 70s, sin fascinates, then assassinates. Sin thrills, then kills. You play, then pay. And as we look at this verse and we see verse 20, it says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are his delight in their way are his delight. And so in my Bible, I have circled in verse 20 two words, the word heart and the word way, because they are so connected, aren't they? The way that we go, our philosophy of life, what we're going to do. If we're going to go to work to determine I'm going to do what's right, it's going to be coming out of a motivation of a heart that's not froward. The froward heart in verse 20 is the crooked heart. And a crooked heart is going to produce crooked ways. But if we have an upright heart, a heart that is determined to do what's right, then verse 20 says, in their way are his delight there. God will delight whenever we are determined to do what's right. God, I'm going to leave the consequences to you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do the right thing. And God, I need you to show me what the right thing is. Sometimes we know that already, don't we? But sometimes we're just not sure. What is the right thing? God, will you show me the right thing to do? And my prior commitment is to do what's right. As soon as I know it, God, I'm going to do the right thing. And I'll let you take care of the consequences. And God delights in that because it's a life of faith. It's a heart that is not froward, that's trusting him. Well, verse 21, we see not only is the heart and the way connected, but we also see the hand is connected to it. The work that we do with our hands as we do to do what's right. He says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. And that phrase, though hand join in hand, is very similar to a phrase we have in our vernacular. There is strength in numbers. So when hand joins in hand and a lot of people join hands and they go together, there's strength in numbers. Except for on one occasion, when all those numbers are going against God. It doesn't matter how many they are, does it? Though hand join in hand, that's what he means. Even if all the world goes against God, it says the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And here's the idea of seed. Things that are planted again, and the benefit is being delivered. And when you look at that phrase, the seed of the righteous, and if you think about the righteous one, Christ, we are seed of the righteous one. We are offspring, spiritual offspring of Christ, and we shall be delivered as well. So when we do what's right and we live after righteousness, God takes care of all the consequences and he delivers us. Now here's a picture in your mind, verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. And you can just draw that image easily, can't you? You see this pig with the nose ring? A lot of nose rings today you see around, usually not in pigs, but sometimes the discretion is just about the same. Verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, the word fair means beautiful, a beautiful woman that has no discretion there. And in our TV shows and things like that, sometimes people generalize things, and you know the TV shows that generalize the dumb blonde, that there's the beauty there, but she's just so spaced out and everything. Well, that's what it's talking about here, the pig's snout, as a beautiful woman that doesn't have any discretion. She's not like the woman we saw earlier in verse 16, who is a gracious woman that retains honor there. She's living in the mud, so to speak, like the pig would. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, for the expectation of the wicked is wrath. And this desire and expectation are similar. What are we hoping for? What is our expectation? What is our desire? And the only thing that the wicked have to look forward to is wrath. I don't know about you, but I don't look forward to wrath. I don't like to be on the receiving end of someone's wrath, whether it's an angry parent, or whether it's from our school, or whether it was the wrath of my dad when I was growing up, or the wrath of God. We just don't like being on the end of somebody's just mad and taking it out on you. Have you been there? Ever been there? Someone mad at you, or mad at somebody and taking it out on you? Well, here he says that that's all that the ungodly have to look forward to, is wrath. But a whole lot worse than the wrath of somebody that's mad at us, the wrath of God. Verse 24, there's he that scattereth and yet increases. And again, we're thinking about this concept of sowing and reaping. If we sow mercy, we're going to receive mercy. If we withhold mercy, we're going to have that come to us as well. And there are some people that scatter and scatter and scatter. They spread and they give and give and give, but yet they keep increasing. Everything they touch turns to gold. You've heard the phrase, we can't outgive God. And so there are those that just give and give and give, and the New Testament talks about those who have the gift of giving there. And so they give, and God continues to use them as a vessel through which things flow, rather than trying to let everything stop here. That goes back to the wicked man we saw earlier. His whole goal and all the work he does is to let all the riches that come his way stay with him, hoard it all up. But the person who is generous and gives, he scatters it, and yet he has plenty. He keeps increasing. Verse 24 goes on to say, the other side of the coin, there's also the person who withholds more than is meet, more than he needs, and it tends to poverty. And so there are people that are rich and give and give and give and give, and there are those who earn a whole lot and they're still poor. Have you read in the news, not recently, but of a couple of boxers I read about and baseball players too, who earn millions of dollars and then they're broke? Or even one movie star from an old sitcom from back in the 60s and just was homeless. How do people earn that kind of money and yet just lose it all? Well, there are those that scatter and they still keep increasing. There are those who withhold it. They try to keep everything more than what they need, and it tends to poverty there. Verse 25, the liberal soul, it says, it shall be made fat. We'll say, we don't want to be liberal, do we? The liberal soul shall be made fat. Not the liberal body, but the liberal soul. The word liberal is a Hebrew word that means to spread thin. It means to give and give and give and give there. The New Testament says it's more blessed to give. So the liberal soul shall be made fat. So he gives and gives and gives, but yet he continues to receive increase. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And how essential is water for life? It's absolutely essential. It's essential for plant life, animal life, for humans. And so he that waters is also going to be watered himself. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. We sow mercy, we reap mercy. We sow cruelty by not forgiving, we receive cruelty. We sow money, we scatter, that's what we get. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to get. So if you give money, that's what you're going to get money. If you give kindness, you're going to get kindness. If you give mercy, you're going to get mercy. That's a biblical principle. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. And so he that withholdeth his corn, in verse 26, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. Not that gives it, and it's okay to give it too, but can you imagine a person who has enough corn or food and people all around are starving and he has more than he needs, but he won't even sell them some there. Here the people are going to curse him. He's going to reap whatever he sows. Verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor there. That means searches out favor. You're looking to do some good, you're going to look to show favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. There's harm and withholding. A person who withholds the corn and he has it to give, he's able to feed those who have need, but yet he doesn't, he's going to reap what he sows. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. If we sow mischief, we're going to reap mischief as well. Verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fail, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And so you have a contrast in this verse. the person who is rich and he's trusting in his riches, and then a person who is righteous and he's not trusting in riches, but he's trusting in doing what's right. He's going to flourish. He's going to blossom. He's going to bring forth. He's going to bud and bloom there. And we know that riches in and of itself is not a sin. God gives to some people more riches than others, but how we use it can determine a lot about the heart. The heart and a man's way, as we saw in verse 20, are connected. Verse 29, we have three more verses. We'll finish up this chapter and stop at the end of chapter 11. Verse 29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. So he sows trouble, and what does he reap? The wind. He troubles his own house. And the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart there. And so if we want to be in control of the family, we go back to what we saw earlier, where there's a gracious woman and a strong man that retains riches there, and he doesn't trouble his house. Verse 30, a verse on soul winning. The fruit, remember we've been on the theme tonight of sowing and reaping, and the fruit is a result of what you sow. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He has sown righteousness, and that's what he's getting, a tree of life. The Word of God is a seed. And so as we are witnessing to people and being soul winners, God has given us the responsibility of planting the seed of the Word of God in people's heart. We can't make them get saved, can we? It'd be nice if we could, because we all have loved ones that we want to see saved. But God's the one who gives the increase. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The word winneth is a word that means to seize upon, to take hold of. And he that, as he's on his way to heaven, seizes a hold of someone else and takes them on to glory with him as a wise person there. He that winneth souls is wise. And then the last verse says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed. We saw earlier the work, the labor, the wages. He that does what's right, he's not concerned about his pay, he's just concerned about doing what's right, he shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. God is going to punish the wicked as well. God punishes the unsaved because they reject Christ. God punished believers from time to time in order to correct us, so that our motivation for our labor, our motivation for planting seed, is not so much about what we're going to get from it, but just the motivation is, I'm going to do what's right. And God's going to give the fruit. God will give the benefit. God will be glorified, whether it's a work of forgiving someone, whether it's a word of giving to someone, whether it's a work of an encouraging word to someone. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. And may the Lord help us in this brand new year, that we are sowing seeds of righteousness and mercy and kindness and good deeds, and watch the Lord grow it, because that's his responsibility to give the increase. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are faithful to us. And Lord, it's certainly a privilege for us to be able to serve you and to plant the Word of God in the hearts of other people. Help us to know the Scriptures and give us wisdom when doors of opportunity come our way to be able to recall a Scripture, to share with someone, to plant that seed, and to watch how you work your Word in the hearts and lives of others. Help us in this year with the jobs that we have. We know that our jobs are gifts from you to help us meet the needs of our family. And we pray that you would help us in our jobs, that our motivation would always be to do what's right in our jobs and leave all the consequences and the results to you. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.